Hey y'all, welcome to Beautifully Healthy. I'm Dr. Allison Key, and I am joined, of course, today by Erica Smith.
Hello.
And we are so excited to have our friend Angie Luttrell on today.
Hey, I'm glad to be here.
We are continuing our girl boss theme for a few weeks, hopefully inspiring some of you young or older ladies to get out there and do it. It's not just for the boys anymore. It's a woman's world now. So Angie has made some major transitions in her work life in the past year or so. And so I wanted to have her come on and kind of tell us her story a little bit and what's going on. So tell us about you.
Well, I did hair for since high school. I started taking cosmetology in ninth grade. And so I did hair for almost 30 years. And I owned a hair salon in Bremen, but I had always wanted to do real estate. I hate to even say this because I have customers, I'm sure, that's going to listen, but hair was not my dream.
Yeah.
I signed up to do hair because I didn't want to do welding or nursing or, you know, any of that other stuff. And I thought, oh, I'll try to do hair. And so I wound up doing it. You know, it just kind of becomes, I had kids and I moved on and I loved it. The shop has benefited me and my family so much. I mean, I was able to be at every field trip, every party my kids had. But last year when I turned 44, I told my husband, I said, you know, I've always wanted to do real estate and I'm going to do it this year. I put it off because I hated school. I mean, I left walking in kindergarten. Yeah. I mean, hated it.
Back when you could run away from school.
Oh, yeah. And so I put it off because that test petrified me. And I knew people who had failed it 2 and 3 times. And I'm not book smart whatsoever. Now, if you need some street smarts, I got that. But
there you go, gang lord. She's my gang lord partner.
Oh, yeah. I'm real good at that.
I already got it. I'm forming my gang now.
I spent 3 months straight in ISS in ninth grade.
There we go. See, yeah. You're just this talking about growing up in a costume as a rebellious child.
That's why I was so rebellious. But so the thought of it, I kept putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. And I'm not, like I said, I'm not book smart. I struggle with reading stuff. I'd have to read stuff 20 times to even comprehend it. But I just really wanted this. When I was a kid and when I was like 8, my mom would say, Angie, if you'll stay at school all week and not leave, not call your grandmother to come get you, I will take you to open houses on the weekends.
Really?
That was at 8. And
oh,
I would
gosh.
Play with Hot Wheels cars and poster boards and draw, like develop whole little communities. And I just loved that, but I just kept putting it off and putting it off. And so I finally was like, I'm going to do this.
Think it was fear, or do you think it's like when you become a mom, it's sometimes it's easy just to do the easy thing?
Well, you just placing.
Like, yeah, you're just like,
was placing, and it was a good career. And I love people. So I enjoyed being around the people and all. And, but it wasn't, I just always had this dream in the back of my mind. And so when
God had put that little desire in your heart. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And it had to be God, too, because who else could have helped me pass that test? And I did. I worked so hard and I studied. And I mean, when I say studied, my kids would get so aggravated hearing real estate vocabulary words on the car going down the road. I mean, y'all can imagine how boring that is to some kids. And but I just did. And I worked so hard, but I still only made, like, I barely passed the test. But I was like, I'm fine. I'm a C student. I'm good with that, you know. And
I passed,
this is what
that's
I
all
love.
That matters, yeah.
And I remember when I started out, I was so scared, you know. I thought, well, I'll keep doing hair and I'll do just kind of transition slowly into this. And man, Allison and they, like, God just brought, my very first year has been unbelievable. I mean, I hear from other people about how they can't believe I've had this much success in real estate in just 1 year.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's incredible.
And it's crazy. So I know, and I'm loving it. So I finally, you know, realized that it is something that I feel like I was made to actually do this. My only regret is that I waited so long.
This is exactly why I want to talk to you, because I just feel like, you know, when God plants a dream in your heart, it's for a reason. Yeah. You can't just ignore that. It's what you're meant to do. Not that you aren't good at other things or can't make a living or support your family with other things. What did your husband say when you told him you wanted to? Did he know that you'd always been interested in real estate? Was this a surprise to him? Or
I think he knew just because of the mere fact of the 500 hours a week of HGTV he was forced to watch. Yeah, so he was like, please, I can't watch any more shows where they're tearing stuff down or hunting houses. But he did say, I think he was a little more hesitant than I was. I'm kind of let's just trust God. He's got a plan. We're going to just go do what he says to do. And he was like, well, you got to keep doing hair too, right? And so he was a little more reluctant till he seen, you know, how these calls that were coming in. And the calls that were coming in, they literally were just coming in. I mean, I had people ask me, are you buying leads? Or like, what are you doing? And I hate to even say it because I know people are struggling right now. But when I tell them, they literally have just fell in my lap, and they have. I mean, my second deal was over $500,000.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and I had no idea what I was doing. But I had to act like I was, because this other lady that was the other agent, she does these deals, you know, several times a month. And I remember when I got the call, and it was funny because it was a friend of mine's mom, and we grew up, and I've known them for a long time, and I've only talked to her twice. And one time she called and asked about one house, if it was under contract, another house, how much land it had with it. So the third phone call I got from her, now keep in mind, I'd never showed them a house or anything. The third phone call I got, she said, hey, we found a house we want. Can you write the contract up on it? And I was like, yeah, sure. So I start typing the address, and I about fall out of my chair when I see this house is over $500,000. And she's like, can we put an offer in today? And I'm like, yeah. And the whole time I'm thinking, I don't even know. This is a new construction. I don't even know. Like, what am I supposed to do? Like, I don't even know if I can pronounce how much money this is. Like, so I'm just like, what do I do? And so, of course, I'm like, yeah. Well, we actually, there's some people out there looking at the house. They're writing up an offer in the driveway also. Well, we sweep in. We get this offer wrote. We get, get it in. Her offer gets accepted. And, you know, I'm just sitting back. This is all from 3:30 to 8 o'clock in one night. And I'm just sitting back, and I'm just like, this had to be God. There's no other explanation. And it's funny because at our work, if you sell anything over that certain price range, you become what they call distinctive collection agent. Or it's considered in that, category. And I don't even know how to spell distinctive. And so I'm still, like, trying to figure out, okay, now we got this contract accepted. What do we do? Like, what do I do? And so it just, has gone on from there. And I know I tell her thank you all the time, and she tells me to quit thanking her. But, I mean, to trust me, I felt like as a rookie with no experience with a deal, I left it out. This was a cash deal also.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it was. And to trust me, who I wouldn't have trusted me with something like that. And to know that I just literally got my license a couple of months ago, and you're going to trust me with something like this. It was amazing to see that, and that God, like I said, there was no doubt in my mind that God would get the glory for that.
Orchestrated all that.
No way.
You're selling yourself short, but I get where you're going with that. That's awesome. How have your kids felt about you changing horses?
Well, they like it. They do. They like the that I'm home more than I was, because doing hair, I was at 10 o'clock at night and, Saturdays. And they don't like me being on the phone. That's one thing I've had to try to get used to, is the phone is like nonstop when you got listings and showings and stuff like that. So I've tried to explain to them I am on my phone a little bit more. But I'm home more.
Yeah.
And so that has been a transition to two. And I'm, y'all are business owners too. And y'all know it's hard not to take every call. And having to try to tell myself, okay, you don't have to take every call. You can, enjoy, spend some time. And I grew up with a dad who's owned his own business my whole life. And it was the same way. I watched him. It was always about work and everything. But I also learned such a good work ethic. I mean, you get the most amazing work ethic from somebody who's a business owner, because you have no choice. You are the CEO. Yeah. You are the laborers. You are everything.
You're the plumber.
Yeah. Your IT.
HR. Everything. Toilet cleaner. Mm-hmm. A little bit of all of it. Yeah, for sure. That is one thing that I guess my family, my husband, children, extended family, have all been super, super supportive since we've done this. But it also, you can't turn it off, and so they get frustrated with me too, and the phone, and part of me feels like, well, but you have to learn boundaries and what's emergent and what can wait till tomorrow. And it's just hard sometimes to turn it off, but you gotta learn those things as you go.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that I'm right now, and I'm having to even like in church Sunday, I was getting several phone calls, and I wanted to walk out and go take these calls, but you have to be like, look, remember, he's the one got you here. Keep worshiping him. It'll be fine after lunch. So you do have to set those times and boundaries and stuff like that. And that's hard, I think, as a business owner, because we are it, and we are the receptionists. We are the workers. We have to do it all.
For sure. Do you miss doing hair?
I do. I miss the people.
Sure.
I had clients that have been clients. I've watched their babies be born and them send them off to college. I mean, I've had people that I've been with that long. I miss the people, a lot of them. And like I said, I loved people anyway, so it was so much more than doing hair. I mean, I had a customer in particular that the very first night I did her hair, we went and ate dinner together that night. And so I would pray with those people and spend time with them and watch their kids grow up. So I do miss that. I miss that part of it. But I'm absolutely loving what I'm doing now. And like I said, I feel like this is what I was always, you know, supposed to do. I remember, too, when we bought our house, we had a bunch of credit issues. We had been through, you know, just so much stuff, and we couldn't buy a house. They would laugh at us every time we would even try. And I remember praying and believing for a house. And I remember when we finally closed on our house. And that's the same feeling I get when I'm able to watch people close on their house. And I think that's another reason why I absolutely love this so much. But it was in me to do this since I was a little kid. My mom has pictures of my dad, you know, used to build houses, and then he's always been in construction. And I would take his leftover 2x4s and lay floor plans for whole houses out in the backyard as a kid. And like I said, I don't know why. I mean, I don't question why. I mean, obviously my life was, you know, turned out the way it should. And I love every minute of it. I wouldn't change anything. I did. I loved hair. I love what hair afforded me when my kids were little. Like I said, I never missed a party or a field trip or anything like that because I could do my own schedule. And then even now I'm able to do this, you know, around my own schedule.
That's one of the challenges, I think, is as hard as a business owner is. In theory, you can set your own schedule and be where you need to be when you need to be there. Mm-hmm. But you always feel kind of pulled, like with that obligation, like I need to be there for my kid's party, but I really need to be there to watch them eat this cupcake when I could be over here, like taking care of A, B, or C. So that's always kind of a hard challenge. And again, it's a learning curve for a business owner and a working mom is to figure out how to make it all work and balance out fairly, you know, and in a healthy way for everybody involved.
That's what balance. That's the main thing, I think, is balance. And that's kind of hard sometimes when you're being pulled in so many different ways. But
yeah, I read something recently that said that balance is really just an illusion, that when you're a working mom and you have, you know, 12 balls in the air, they're going to be six that you can catch at any one time and six that fall. And sometimes it's going to be you're catching the all the family balls and things are going well over here. But then there are going to be times where you got to catch the work balls. And, you know, you just have to kind of make peace with the fact that you're not going to be all things to all people at all times. Like, there's a certain balance that comes with that. But you're also setting an example for your kids that, again, that work ethic, like, it doesn't come easy. You know, sometimes you have to make sacrifices to make it work. So it's not all bad.
I don't know about you, but, like, there's about maybe one day every 6 months where I feel like I have it all together. Like, I mean, there's
a amen,
like
sister.
That one day when you just sit back and you're like, man,
the dishes are done, the beds are made,
like, everybody was up. Like once every 6 months, mm-hmm. you get that feeling. But,
mm-hmm. And then the bottom falls out tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a good feeling though when you're like, you know what? I do have it all together. It's an illusion, too.
Until somebody walks in and proves you wrong.
Exactly. It's going to happen. Nobody has it together all the time. That's the one thing social media has ruined for us, that illusion that people have it all together. Ain't nobody got it all together.
Mm. No.
Not one person. Mm-mm. Whose kid hadn't cussed in class?
Or at church.
Yeah. Luke mooned our congregation one Sunday. Mooned the entire congregation. With the preacher in the pulpit, so...
Both my kids have said four letters, so.
Happens. It happens to the best parent with the best intentions. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. What is, you think, the biggest lesson you've learned in this work transition?
I would have to say probably that I guess I went into it, too, with thinking it was going to be a little bit easier than I thought it would be to transition. And I remember in the beginning, I thought, well, I'll do hair for... somebody had told me it would take probably a year to build up enough clients to quit doing hair and, you know, transition completely into this. So I remember, you know, trying to do hair and trying to negotiate an inspection report at the same time. And it just got where it was so overwhelming. And I guess I didn't realize how hard it would be to transition from one to the other. And then I remember the day I closed the shop. And that was so hard on me. That was such a hard, because walking away from... you know, that many clients and dispersing them out to other hairdressers and people, you know, around town and stuff. It was hard. And I was there by myself when I cut the lights off for the last time. And it was hard, but at the same time, I was so excited.
Yeah.
I was really excited. I mean, there wasn't really a time, I guess, when, I guess because you're saying goodbye to one thing, but you're excited about another. It wasn't like I had to close because my business failed. You know, it was just, right. I was moving on to something else. And so I guess just the juggling all of it, I finally just got to the point where I was like, okay, I've got to pick one. And like I said, I had no idea that it was going to blow up the way that it did. And I'm just thankful.
Yeah, for sure. I think a misconception probably, and I've not given myself enough grace in this area either, is that when God ordains it, or God, you know, this is God's purpose for your life, that it's just going to be easy street. And that's not necessarily true. You know, that even walking that walk doesn't come without some sacrifice and some struggle at times. Now, He'll always make a way. He'll always open a door. And He'll always provide. There have been some times we looked at each other like, oh, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
But it worked out, you know. And so you just got to walk in that faith, even when you're struggling or it's hard. Like, we're just going to keep pressing forward because it's going to be okay. But that's an area where you beat yourself up a little bit because you think, oh, it should be easy. And it's not always easy.
Well, I remember at first, too, like right after the first, I remember the first time I didn't have any appointments on the book. It was, you know, the week after. For the first time in all these years, I wasn't doing hair late at night, or I didn't even know what to do on a Saturday. But, you know, I remember being scared, too, and thinking, what did I do? Like, what were you thinking?
Yeah.
Like, why would you walk away? You just gave all your clients away. Like, what were you thinking? And I think one of the biggest things, too, is having, like, the fear of, what if something happens and I don't, and I have to go back to, you know, not that it would be a bad thing, but you just, I guess, feel the failure, too. You think about, what if I fail at this? What if I don't? But you can't live like that. You just got to go and do and work hard. That's one thing that I think most, if I could tell people, if you want to own your own business, you better be ready to work, because you are going to have to work. Like we said earlier, you are it. You're the whole thing. If you wake up every day, like I heard somebody say, you're unemployed if you don't have no work. And, you know, with us being business owners, and you have to be willing to work. That's one thing that over the years that, you know, I mean, just like that, doing hair till 10 o'clock at night, you know, showing houses whenever I need to. I painted trim a few weeks ago to get ready for a close, and I went by Home Depot, got the paint, and painted trim to get it done. So whatever you got to do, you know.
Yeah. That seems to be kind of the recurring theme here, is if you're going to be your own boss, you got to be willing to do whatever it takes to get it done. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, we are the CEO also, but like you said, we're the janitor too.
That's
so
right.
You got to be willing to do whatever, you know. Yeah, everybody wants to sit in the office and not have to do anything, but sometimes you do have to get out. And I love when I see people like that, that are, you know, that own companies and don't have to do that, but they still are.
Yeah.
They're still right there in the middle.
They're hustling to do it, yeah. Well, I think when it's a passion and it's a purpose, you want to be in the middle of it. You don't want to feel disconnected from it. You want to know what's going on and have your finger on the pulse. That's the only way you can be successful is if you're willing to get in there and be from the top position to the bottom position and everything in between. And it might change from day to day or even hour to hour. I'll be in there to see you in just a minute, Miss Jones. I got to clean this toilet first. You know, like just sometimes what you have to do. And if you're not okay with that, then go work for somebody.
Well, and I think God looks at that too. Like, what are you willing to do? Because we got to stay humble, you know? And one thing I always say to Him is, God, don't you ever let me forget where you brought me from. I don't ever want to get to a place to where I forget that He is the one who has provided all this and done all this. And yeah, we got to work. We got to do, you know, be willing to do the work. But you got to remember, you know, where we came from also.
Yeah. You can toil in vain if you're not, you know, looking in the right spot. But for sure. Absolutely. Well, your story is just so inspirational to me, you know, that I feel like you did what you had to do all those years. You enjoyed it and made the most of it. But, you know, at the right time, you decided to follow the calling of your heart. And it's paid off for you in a big way and for your family. And I know that's going to continue to be a blessing. So if you had... I guess you've answered this question, but if you had one piece of advice for a lady out there thinking about jumping ship or making a change or being her own boss, what do you think it would be?
I would say don't wait. Don't wait so long. Don't be scared. Don't let that hold you back. Go ahead and if you have a dream, go after it.
I love it. I love it. That's what Amy was saying. One thing that has changed in her since she's become a business owner is she's fearless. She said, I was never fearless before, but something about being a business owner has made me more fearless. Like, whatever challenges are thrown at you, we'll figure it out. We'll do it. And
I think when you work for yourself, that's kind of the attitude you take. And the thing that you learn is, like, between with faith and the good Lord's blessing, I'm not going to be afraid of it. We're just going to figure it out and roll with punches. I think it's worth bringing up, too, that you did this all in the middle of a pandemic.
I did. That's what's so crazy about this. So I remember I got my license last October. So in between last October and this October, I did $2.3 million my first year in real estate.
Oh, my incredible. Gosh.
Yeah.
That is incredible.
And I had no, like, I have people tell me all the time, like, Angie, you don't realize, because I don't. Like,
$1 million club's kind of a milestone for a lot of agents.
Well, that's what people keep telling me, and I don't know any difference. I've been doing hair for all this time, and when they tell me that, I'm like, it's in the middle of a pandemic. I remember when January hit, I got my license in October, but I really didn't start doing anything until January, because October, November, December is like the Super Bowl for hairdressers, you know. So I didn't even try to do anything, you know, with that till January. And so from January to October is when I did all of the...
That's incredible.
I got to go to a graduation dinner for reaching full agent status in last month at the Capitol Grill. And I was the only one that had done that in 9 months. Everybody else that was there had it took them 2 and 3 years to get there.
That's awesome.
And I just sat back and I'm just in awe. When it's God's plan, it's like just wait, and then all of a sudden He's like, okay, let's go. And it's, you know, and then you get to, you know, be involved in all that, but you got to just wait. And when it's His will and His purpose and plan, everything.
There's no slowing it down.
But I remember in January I was like, Angie, this is the worst time ever to switch careers. I mean, we're in the middle of a pandemic. You're going to try to show houses the country shut down. Like, nobody's letting nobody go in houses, but we did it. We did everything online. We did virtual tours. I mean, you name it. We would come up with ways, you know, to get past it. My company was amazing to give us ideas to do. And I mean, when I'm looking back on 2020, I know so many people have struggled and had a hard time. This has been my best year financially and you know, emotionally, everything. And I feel bad even saying that to some people, because I know it's been a horrible year. I guess that's what makes this so great, is that it was in the middle of a pandemic. Yeah. I mean, when we look back at 2020, like, most people aren't going to look back and think, wow, that was my most amazing year ever. But it has
but you
been.
Might be.
Yeah. it has been. I mean, it's, you know, I also was able to, me and my husband, we paid everything off.
That's awesome.
Before I completely transitioned. And so we, you know, other than our house, I mean, and my car, and that's it. So we, you know, we're able to do all that before transitioning into this. And so, yeah, I think that's probably the biggest, the craziest part of all this to me, is it was in the middle of 2020 and the pandemics.
That's incredible, though. It's just further testament, like, when God has a plan in place, like, there's no stopping it. You just got to just go with it. It'll work out, so...
But I just sat back in so many times and just, like, mind blown at some of the things that He's, you know, done for. But, and I reminded, you know, sometimes I think, why has it been so good for some people and so bad for other people? And I'm reminded of, we're His children, and He's going to protect us and take care of us. And and I feel like that's what He's done, you know, during this time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And even for those who've had a hard time, you know, this is a bitter pill to swallow, but I've been there too. There's something to learn, you know, something to grow from in every situation we face. So just got to keep pressing forward and know that your time's coming, you know, that things are going to change and get better. So just got to keep pressing forward. Well, I love your story. Thank you for coming on and sharing with everybody today.
Thank y'all for having me.
Yes. Super inspirational.
Awesome.
I bet next year you're going to break even more records. And next time we're looking for something to buy, we'll call you.
Oh, yeah.
As a matter of fact, we've been talking about, like, a daycare center.
Oh, yeah. Y'all probably need one.
We have
probably
a lot
need
of,
one.
I think last count, we have over, you know, for our work family here, we have over 40 children under 12. And I think there are, like, 5 new babies on the way.
Oh, yeah.
So
that would be such a benefit, too, to the to the... You know,
absolutely.
The women that work here.
Yeah. Yeah, we're all about finding that balance and proving to the world that you can be a good mama and you can be a good employee and you can be a good healthcare provider and all those things. So, yeah, if anything pops up, just let us know.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank y'all for having me.
Thanks for coming on. Until next time, y'all, stay healthy.
Bye.